Hi there, folks. This is Tony. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. And with me today, I have Brandon Holdhouse in California. First time I've had you directly on the show, Brandon. I've interviewed you before in Auckland, but haven't actually had you straight on the show like this. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Great to be with you. Good to see you again. I think the last time we saw each other was in New Zealand. So Thanks for having me, my friend.
Yeah, it's all good. I've been looking forward to this discussion, and we have a lot of mutual friends. And so, you know, hear what's going on and different things. And there's so much we can discuss, obviously.
Oh, man, it's endless, huh?
So I suppose a logical place to start is with the craziness that's going on university campuses and protesting all over America at the moment. And it's big news everywhere, obviously.
Yeah, major blow-ups are happening all over America and in our college campuses. And there's a lot of reasons why. And, you know, let me explain a few things so people kind of understand what's going on in our colleges and universities. The first reason that's contributing to this is wokeness. And part of the cultural Marxism has made Israel the white privilege type of individual. And so it puts Israel in the oppressor category in cultural Marxism. And I don't know how that happened, but it did. And so wokeism demonizes Israel and unfortunately starts praising terrorist organizations like Hamas. And it's just insane what wokeism does. I mean, Tony, you know, if your listeners know about wokeism, I mean, wokeism says that a guy can have a baby. That's how crazy wokeism is, right?
Yeah.
So now Israel has been put into the category of oppressor, and the Hamas is the oppressor or oppressed. And that happened, like, Tony, within days of October 7th. The narrative just flipped. So this has been going on in the college campuses, and now it's reached a fever pitch. And so they're doing encampments all over these universities, creating mob violence. They stormed into Columbia University, took Hamilton Hall. And this is the funny thing about it. Think about this, Tony. So they go in, they seize Hamilton Hall at Columbia University in New York. And then they cry out, well, Columbia should provide food and water to us as we take your buildings. They want humanitarian aid. It's just, that's wokeism, right? They don't think straight at all. So then what comes out, Tony, is they interview some of these college kids and they're like, okay, what are you protesting? And they're wearing the keffiyehs, you know, the Palestinian keffiyehs, and they don't even know what it represents. And they're interviewing them, asking them, what does the river to the sea mean? And they don't know. And then there's one clip of this girl from Columbia, and they say, why are you doing this? She goes, I don't know. She asked her friend, why are we doing this? Oh, I don't know. And so we have that aspect, but let me tell you the other aspect that people really need to understand. There is dark money funding this, okay? And what has come out now is we got elites like George Soros Foundation types that are funding this. Even Caroline Glick in Israel mentioned that she had a reporter on that mentioned that the IRGC is did a lot of the blockages here in America and around the world of bridges and tollways and whatnot to cause economic harm. So you have them involved in the propaganda, and then what came out was this. So this dark money from the left, these fundraising organizations here in America, for instance, this one's called Act Blue. And anyway, it raises billions of dollars. Well, apparently it's funneling money to another subsidiary organization that's funding this through the Tide Center. And people may not know all the names of these different organizations, but these are hardcore left-wing radical organizations, Tony, and they are the ones inciting it. They're paying for it. And then you start finding out that there's non-college students that are on the campuses doing this. So Tony, there's something else going on that's deeper than just a bunch of dumb kids. I think that the kids don't know what's happening, but someone's fueling the fire for this. Because it's igniting all over. And so we're starting to see that. And knowing that, it reminds me of the riots that we had here with the BLM movement.
Yeah, it's like a rerun.
Yeah, exactly. Same Antifa mobs, out of control, but very well organized, right?
By George Soros and people like that, which is interesting because he's a Jew, but we know, people should know what he was doing as a child during the Nazis, robbing, taking the stuff off the dead, the people the Nazis were killing and all of that. So but, that's typical of that type of organization funded by Soros where they funnel money into these groups that are causing unrest because their goal is global government. So they want to basically destroy order.
Sure. And you think about it, and why this year? I think they're capitalizing on what's going on in Israel, but this is an election year for us.
Exactly.
And the globalists definitely don't want Donald Trump. And I know you guys are there in Australia, but this is a big deal here in America because this is a fight not between Republicans and Democrats. This is a fight between elite globalists versus, people that want to keep their country from going global. And I put it in spiritual terms. This is evil versus good. This is no longer political parties. And we have a candidate now with Trump being investigated. He's got like 90 something, things being brought against him, which is like a banana republic. You're putting a political opponent, basically, they're going to put him in jail to ensure that Biden, I don't even know if the guy's even alive. It's like Weekend at Bernie's, man. And why? Because they are not going to have Trump come in there because he's going to wreck their globalist plans, Tony.
Well, possibly. I don't know. I see that possibly differently, that Trump's also an actor playing a role as part of the Hegelian dialectic. So
sure.
I'm not sure that Trump's not actually in on the whole thing, personally.
And the direction we all know from Scripture, too, is it's heading to globalism. Yeah. And it seems that no matter what we do, it's not going to stop because it's institutionalized, Tony. It's in the FBI. It's in the CIA. It's in the DOJ. And getting just one guy in there is not going to change any of that. So that's what we're facing. And I'm afraid, I was talking to Tom last night about this, I'm afraid we have went too far and there's really no recovery to this.
No, there's no political solutions, that's for sure. Is God actually in politics anyway, really? People are always looking for thinking the change of government, whatever country you're in, current government's not very good and wherever it is, France or Canada, we got to get rid of Trudeau and whatever. Yeah. But when the next ones come along, are they really any better or are they just taking everyone to the same destination, but they're either taking the course to the right or to the left, but their goal is still the same.
Right, one's on a faster train than the other.
Yeah.
And we realize in America that we have a uniparty, really. I remember, this was a while back, George W. Bush said, I don't know why he said this, but he said it off the cuff. He said, look, it doesn't matter who gets in here. They're going to do what they're told to do. And when he said that, you just realized, this is all a rigged game. It's all for show.
Yeah, there are controllers with the power and the money behind the politicians. That's it, really. Every country now, I think, pretty much, because, you've got the UN and you can obviously see the goal of the UN and the WEF and all these is global government. And so they put people into position that'll toe that line one way or another. Obviously, you get a bit of pushing and pulling in different directions, but the basic goal is the same end.
Yeah.
And we know from Scripture where it does end, with
that's
Antichrist.
Right.
And
that's right.
Yeah, that's kind of how quickly it's going to get there, who knows. But
but we're definitely on the train. The train has left the station, Tony, and I don't think we can reverse it. Now, if God intervenes and stops something, okay, then he can do anything he wants to do.
Yep.
But if we look at the geopolitical realm, it's not stopping, man. Mm. It's set. And these guys, these guys, Tony, are Luciferian, and they are satanic the way they, because everything they do is anti-human, Tony. I mean, like the Biden administration, again, we know that Biden's not making the calls, but like every policy they produce, it doesn't benefit anyone. It's anti-human stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when you know it's demonic, man.
Well, I mean, here's something. This is totally speculation. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but let's just say Donald Trump gets thrown into prison, you know, and then Joe Biden has a stroke or something and can't run. Right. You know, you get that close to the election and both the main candidates are out. You imagine the chaos that would ensue, you know, all over the country. And I potentially could see this actually as a possibility of happening. And if you're wanting to create global government, what do? You control both sides and you create the chaos, and then you've got to come in with a different answer. Maybe Kamala Harris could be the next president. Oh, no. I don't know, you know. But I do think you're right there. It's no coincidence that it's an election year. And all these things are happening, including these riots and the universities and stuff like that. So,
well, think about this, Tony, and you know this very well. Their thing, the rules for radicals, you know, from Saul Alinsky was, you know, you create these fires and then you put them out, and you take advantage of the crisis.
Yep.
You know, never let a crisis go to waste, and that's right out of their playbook, man. And then it's the divide and conquer thing. And, you know, what they're doing in America is they have divided us. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, like some political analysts will say, Tony, that like we're at like a pre-Civil War mentality with people.
Yeah.
And so they've done a real good job of fomenting division. No doubt about that.
And these current like pro-Palestinian, look, some of them to me, they're just terrorists. They're not protesters. I'm sure some of them are just protesting, but some of them to me look like paid activist terrorists. I mean, smashing windows to get into buildings and all of that's not protesting. And so, you could just see the anger rising on both sides, and and this is part of the whole playbook, like you say, you saw with the BLM stuff. And perhaps that didn't go as far as the radicals' controllers wanted. And here we go. Here's round two, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw it even on January 6th. There was FBI guys all implanted into that crowd. And one of the main, we figured out that there were insiders in the crowd, too.
Yeah.
And somehow they avoided prosecution. We knew their names, Tony, and conservative media types pointed these people out, that they were all immersed in the crowd. And we have video of these guys inciting things, but yet our government didn't do anything to them. The FBI didn't touch them. So there was like weird stuff happening like that, Tony. And when you start looking that at it, you're like, okay, man, there's something bigger going on. It's a lot deeper. Yeah, you're right. If people are fooled to think that we're going to change something by an election, they're not seeing the spiritual reality of things.
No, that's true. And when they have paid people, government officials, in official departments hiding in crowds and causing things, and then like with the January 6th, what happens? They arrest people and then hunt them down and put them away without a trial, pretty much for indefinitely, a lot of them. And then you have the opposite with the BLM or these ones. They'll probably slap them on the wrist with a wet bus ticket and send them back to university or whatever. Totally different standard.
Yeah, I mean, you even hear the university presidents come out and say that they may be suspended, and it's like they are suspended. What are you talking about? And you're never going to attend here again.
Yeah, that's how it should be. Yeah,
you should be, but they're all saying, well, we may suspend. We don't know. And it's like, come on, but you know what the game they're playing, Tony. But very frustrating. You know, and that's the thing is if you just simply look at this on a political level, you can get very frustrated. But you have to see it from a spiritual level as a Christian to realize, wait, there's something else going on here. much deeper. And that's how you can only make sense of this, Tony, because a lot of this stuff is just pure evil. I mean, you know, and you guys have the same thing where they're chopping body parts off of kids and thinking this is okay and mutilating kids and grooming them and in our public schools. And then I saw a report, Tony, coming out of the UN with the idea of legalizing pedophilia. And you're thinking, dude, how evil can you people get? You know, and they're like, well, we're thinking about normalizing relationships. And of course, the UN is about as evil as they come, right? But even suggesting that, Tony, it's like, all right, it's the, like you said, the Hegelian dialectic. They'll push it out there and let's see if we can get some traction on it. Yeah. But eventually they get there, right? Sick.
It is.
Sick stuff.
It is. And the UN, I mean, that was always founded on dodgy principles anyway. So what do you expect? And then when you have, well, you have the some of these terrorist countries basically contributing to the UN, well, of course, they're going to push their agendas. But another thing I was thinking about is the Ukraine situation. That's also nuts, where basically funneling a war, money into a war, and just the Ukrainian citizens are becoming cannon fodder for what?
Yes. Man, Tony, I'm telling you, this is a travesty what's going on there, especially to the poor Ukrainians. We have pumped in billions and billions and billions, and we just pumped in some more because they wanted to give Israel some money, and then they added Ukraine money to it. And we have tapped out in munitions given to the Ukraine. And look, Tony, here's the reality on the ground. They're not going to win.
No.
They're not going to get Crimea back. They're not going to get the Donbass back. And it's like, well, what are we going to do here? We're just going to keep this going forever and ever? And you hear Zelensky and this few other ones say, well, you know, I thought we were going to do this for a decade. It's like, what? A decade? No, thank you. The American people don't want to do this. So then the question becomes, what are we doing? What is this for? And so the rumors is, you know, America's fighting a proxy war against Russia. That's one of the things. The other thing is that America has bioweapons lab, at least 12 of them on the ground there. That's another possibility that people have heard, and we're protecting that. And the other one is what pretty much everyone knows. We have been money laundering through the Ukraine, especially the Biden family and a lot of the other American families, and using the Ukraine to money launder things. And Ukraine, if people don't know, not the people, but the top echelon, is one of the most corrupt countries on the face of the planet. And there's a lot of wicked stuff going on in there. And the poor people, like you said, are fodder for all of this. Because why would America keep pumping in billions and billions of dollars knowing that they're not going to win and they're not going to lose? I mean, they're going to continue to lose. What are they protecting? So this is what's filled in the gaps, obviously. And we know, you know, for goodness sakes, we got the stuff on Hunter Biden's laptop of Burisma and everything else. It's right there. So we do know that. But I don't know, Tony, man, people just shake their head and like, are we going to be in endless wars forever with these people? What's going on? And it doesn't seem like there's no end to it.
Well, the other side of that is even more sinister, is if you end up putting troops on the ground, like not necessarily the US, but say France and other NATO countries start putting ground troops in the Ukraine. Well, Russia, Putin's already said they will definitely not tolerate that. And about a week ago, I think on Russian state television, they said, you know, they publicly broadcast, well, if they put troops on the ground in these places, we're going to basically nuke these control centers. And they, you know, rolled out the list of the potential weapons, including one that would put the UK completely underwater and, you know, and all of that. And people can go, oh, it's all just bluster and that. That little clip finished, this is not propaganda. That's the translation. And so what is this? Worth a nuclear war over a war you can't even win, over the Crimea and those areas that were traditionally part of Russia anyway. And people will say, oh, well, Putin's goal is then to take over this country and that country and reform the Soviet Union type of thing. But Putin's never actually said he wants to do that. He's never said, I want to invade Poland or anywhere else. But the Western kind of mindset that we've been propagandized is that Putin wants to be like Adolf Hitler and keep expanding. But is that really the case, or is that just a smokescreen to cover up for, you know, why we've got to keep fighting against Russia? And I'm no friend of Putin. I mean,
exactly. I'm not a friend of Putin. And the funny thing is how they have changed the propaganda on this is that if you criticize us giving Ukraine money, like I am right now, I don't think we should be doing that. Then they'll say automatically, well, you must be a Putin supporter. And it's like, whoa, that's not what I'm saying. Just because I say I don't think we should give billions of dollars unaccountable. Tony, we don't even know where the money went.
Yeah.
Zelensky won't give us an accounting of where this went. And it's that concerns me as an American citizen. It doesn't mean I support Putin, because you're right. We keep prodding Putin. He will go nuclear. The guy's serious. When evil guys speak, take them seriously.
Yeah.
And you're totally right. You know, what is this about? And sometimes I just sit back and say, is this all about money and power? Is that what this is about? Mm. And they don't care if a nuclear bomb goes off anywhere and kills millions of people. They don't care. And I look at the Biden administration and all these politicians. All it is about money and power. They don't care if we suffer on the ground. We're like little peons to them.
Yeah.
You know, and the way I take it is how Nimrod looked at, you know, in the Tower of Babel, and people were just bricks. You know, it just one brick cracks, we'll just replace it with another brick, and we just keep building the Tower of Babel. And that's a very utilitarian view of how they see us, because it's my tax money that's funding this, Tony. Yeah. And I'm right now in the taxation and inflation is so high in America that I'm working from January to May to pay my taxes to the government.
Yeah.
So almost half of a year. It's insane, Tony. And you guys probably are seeing the inflation and the high rates. For what, man?
Yeah.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. But you're right. What is this for? So the elites can have it all? Yeah. I go back to what Revelation says, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, three quarts barley for a day's wages, and don't harm the oil and the wine. And I'm like, that's where it's heading.
It is, yeah. I mean, I've certainly noticed inflation in America. It's here, too, in New Zealand.
Is it?
Yeah, but I think we maybe haven't had it as much quite as America, but it's definitely here as well. But I mean, just between 2020 and 2024, the prices of things when I've been over there, it's like, you know, it's quite a huge increase.
Yeah.
And no wonder people are struggling.
Oh, man. It's like, okay, so I'm in California, which is one of the most expensive states here in America. And I mean, gas is over $6 a gallon.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the store and eggs, I mean, basic stuff, eggs, bread.
Yeah.
You're walking out with $150 in buying seven items of basic stuff. And at some point, man, you can't afford it anymore.
Yeah.
You can't even afford to go out and have a dinner or anything anymore, Tony. It's that bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Tony, if that's going to wake people up. I don't know. Because it seems like here in California, Gavin Newsom, which is trained by Klaus Schwab, by the way, he's a young globalist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he set the minimum wage at $20, okay, for like working at a fast food restaurant like Kentucky Fried Chicken or something like that. Dude, we can't afford to pay people like that. And it just destroys businesses. And so what's happening, Tony, in America is this middle class is being destroyed, and you have just the elites, and then everyone else is just poor.
Yeah.
And so, but it's a global phenomenon, apparently.
Yep. And as you say that, I'm thinking about the number of people they've led across the southern border, and then they give them a free cell phone and places to stay. Yeah. And while your average American's struggling and can't find anywhere, and they give these illegal immigrants preferential treatment. It's nuts.
Well, you get, I think you come over the border, you can get up to $2,200 just for coming over the border. You get free medical, free public school, and then your kids will be fed free three times a day at the public schools. And so we're Americans thinking, hey, man, what's happening here? You know, and it's just, and you know why. It's a political thing, because they want votes and they're trying to outvote the evangelicals and flip states like Texas and Florida and stuff like that. And so it's all a political thing. So our elites, Tony, are intentionally destroying our country for their own power and glory. Our cities are like a dystopia, Tony. LA, San Francisco used to be a beautiful city. But they've legalized drugs, and they've let the homeless go everywhere, and they're going to the bathroom on the ground and squatting everywhere, and it's like 1984 dystopia, because of what the elites want, you know, and we're all suffering from it, and we're all hoping for the rapture happens sometime soon to get us out of here, but if not, Tony, we're going to have to live through some really rough times, man, economically speaking.
Yeah, it is getting, there's nothing really that positive from a worldly standpoint. As you look around, it's like there isn't really anything positive, like a change for the better. Obviously, our hope's in Christ and not in the world.
Right.
You know, just off air, we were talking briefly about, and we haven't got a lot of time to discuss it, but, you know, the people that are like, Christians that are wanting to fund the temple, building of the temple in Israel, man. And that. Could we just quickly address stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm glad, because this is kind of a sore spot for a lot of us in the prophecy world. And, you know, what's happened, Tony, is all these cessationalists are coming out there. And then what it turns into is a money-making scheme. And so, okay, so Israel's on the verge of finding the red heifer, okay? And we all know that they got to use the red heifer to cleanse the temple area to build the temple. And we do know the temple is going to be built, a tribulation temple. But if you read scripture, Isaiah 66 says that temple is not sanctioned by God. And so the next temple that will be built is by Jesus when he comes back at the second coming in the Messianic age. So, But again, a lot of Christians don't know that, and they get caught up in this. And they're like, wow, okay, Israel's going to rebuild their temple, and they're asking for donations, and I want to help them build their temple. And it's like, no, you're building a temple for the Antichrist. Yeah. Do not help them.
Yeah.
Do not help them. But what's happened is, like, this whole spring is people went into a fever pitch about this, and it became a money-making thing for these guys. And poor Christians were gullible enough to give these guys the money. And it's like, guys, you're not going to accelerate the time for this, number one. And number two, don't you know that this is going to be desecrated by the Antichrist? I mean, we're not supporting this.
Yeah.
But Tony, this is what's going on. So, like, we had an eclipse pass through America, and people got all crazy on that. And this is a sign from God, and it's a high watch day, and God's going to bring judgment to America. And it's nothing again, you know. And what's starting to happen to the prophecy world is you're getting the tinfoil hat brigade, Tony. You're getting the guys that are just sensationalist, clickbait, crazy stuff going on. And but you know what? People are gullible to follow that. So here you and I are, and guys, you know, that we are our circle. And we're conservative in our prophetic understanding. Yeah. We're not getting crazy.
Yeah.
But yet we get lumped in with them, Tony.
Yeah, which bothers me. Yeah.
You know, and so, you're one of those crazy guys. Well, it's like, no, I'm not in that. I'm not saying the eclipse is a judgment on America, or, you know, the red heifer is going to signal the return of Christ or something like that. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
And what's happening is how they'll slip away with this, Tony, is they'll do high watch days. Instead of setting a date, they'll do, well, this is a high watch day. And that's how kind of they weasel their way out of not setting a date, but yet they are, really, by doing a high watch day. Hey, be careful on this day, because something could happen.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
Yeah, I agree. The other side of that too, with people funneling money into the temple and all that, I mean, Christians need to realize that these ultra-Orthodox Jews don't even like you. They don't like Christians. They will use your money, but they don't like you. And you look back to the time of Jesus, it was the religious leaders and the political leaders of the day that crucified Jesus and persecuted the followers of Jesus, and nothing's really changed. And so whilst I support Israel being the right to exist and the fact that prophetically it needs to happen, but there's a difference between that and then supporting the ultra-religious Jews and even the politicians. I sort of see a distinction, but too many people kind of lump it all in together. And if you criticize anything that Israel does or anything like that, then somehow you're against the Jews or against God. Well, it's not that way. It's, you know, just look back through Scripture. It was the religious leaders right throughout, you know, and false prophets and all that that were the problem.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, and as a Christian Zionist, and you're right, it doesn't mean I give a blank check to everything Israel does, because I definitely don't support them rebuilding the temple because it is in violation of Isaiah 66. Will it happen? Yeah, I agree it will happen. Doesn't mean I support that. And just like I don't support every political move Israel makes, I'm still a Christian Zionist. I believe God's going to use them. God's bringing them back to the land for a purpose, and they're God's people, and they have a right to the land and protection and self-determination. But when they do stupid moves in the political realm sometimes, I'm like, that was dumb. Like when they gave the Gaza to the Palestinians in 2005, that was a very dumb move. I don't support them dividing their own land. And so, yeah, to be a Christian Zionist doesn't mean I support everything that the government does. And that's where people have to discern it. And I think if they don't discern it, Tony, they're going to make that mistake that you're pointing out. Well, hey, they're building a temple. Let me give money to that and support that. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, time out. We don't do that. I guess we're in the era, apparently, where there's not a lot of discernment, you know, anymore. And people, it's easier just to broad brush everything. And, you know, you don't have to think through things, right? Mm. So, but you're right. That's just because I can be critical of the Israeli government, especially when they do stupid things, doesn't mean I'm not pro-Israel. This temple thing is proving to me that there's a lot of gullibility out there now.
Yeah, I agree. So my background, okay, I'm of basically Jewish descent, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, a family that was a lot murdered by the Nazis in the concentration camps, and a few that survived, which is why I'm here, because I had a grandfather that kind of could see it coming and got out just in the nick of time. And I do totally support Israel's right to exist, and I understand why the Jews wanted to never let something like that happen again and wind up in the land. But personally, I would not term myself as a Christian Zionist. That's just my position. Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of bad rap in people's minds even using that term. So I don't know. Not that I'm criticizing you, you know.
No, I get it.
But personally, for me, it's like I shun from that, you know, kind of label myself.
Sure.
And you're right, though, about Gaza. I see what a lot of people don't realize is when they gave that land up, there were like acres of greenhouses and just a fertile land. And the Palestinians, the Arabs that are calling themselves Palestinians, they could have built themselves a very profitable enterprise out of that and had tons of food for the population. Oh. But what did they do? They didn't. They ran in there and basically destroyed all the infrastructure, smashed down all the glass houses and all of that could have been their livelihood. And then what have they done with the money? They've funneled it into making tunnels. Weapons. And you got to – but so many people don't see that. They just see these Palestinians are being persecuted by the Jews. And, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of – I feel sorry for the ones that are innocent being, you know, killed – and that, but the majority of the population seems to be pretty supportive of Hamas.
Oh, yeah.
And so what is the answer? I don't know. I mean, the only answer is the return of Jesus. And on a personal level, every one of us needs Christ, whether you're Jewish or Palestinian or whatever. We're lost without Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
He is the answer. And I think that's a good way of putting it, Tony, because this stuff is so complex that it you don't have a human answer for it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to take Jesus unraveling the whole thing and setting things right, because, man, this thing is so twisted up. I mean, it's not just even what's going on in the Middle East, but in the whole world. It is so twisted up. It's going to need God to reform and change everything and get out what he needs to get out. And I think that's where we're going. It's almost mind-blowing to see what you're seeing. So, yeah, absolutely. The spiritual answer is it's not a politician. It's Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. So then to finish up, maybe you could tell people where they find you online and if they want to find you and, you know, your church and so forth. And then, yeah, I mean, for those that don't know Christ, don't know Jesus, perhaps, you know, you could just tell people how you feel that they should respond.
Sure. So you guys can find me at rockharborchurch.net or tipofthespear.org. One of those two places. And then from there, you can launch out to all of our social media, you know, YouTube, Rumble. I think we're on Instagram, Instagram. And so, but go to the websites first, rockharborchurch.net or tipofthespear.org, and that will launch you out to everything. What I would say, if those of you are listening and don't have a relationship with Christ, understand that Messiah, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, came 2,000 years ago to live the perfect life you and I couldn't live because we're sinners and we have broken God's law. And so we're in need of salvation. And if we don't get this salvation, we're on our way to the lake of fire. That's just what the Bible says. That's the bad news. And we're all sinners, the Bible declares. And because of that, the wages of sin is death. We can be separated from God for all eternity. And nobody wants that. Not even God didn't want that. But he's holy and just. But what he did to rescue us is he sent his son, the Messiah, Jesus, 2,000 years ago. And Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, became a man and took on a human nature and lived that perfect life you and I couldn't live. He kept the law. Then he went to that cross and he died for our sins. Then he died and was buried, rose on the third day. And what he promises is that if you believe in him, he will give you everlasting life. He will forgive you of your sins, and you can be cleansed of your past sins, past, present, and future, and you can have new life and be born again and experience the abundant life and go to heaven when you die. And you say, well, what do I need to do? Well, the Philippian jailer asked that of the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So it comes down, will you believe? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he's the God-man who can forgive you and give you everlasting life? And if you do, then believe in him and you will have everlasting life.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That's a great way to finish. And thank you for a fascinating and very interesting discussion.
All right.
We'll have to do it again sometime before too long.
Absolutely, Tony.
Awesome.
Great talking with you, my friend.
Cheers, Brandon. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Take care, Tony.
Cheers. You too. And folks, don't forget also to visit us at aminutetomidnight.com and please make sure you subscribe to us there. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. If you like what we're doing, then, you know, donations are always appreciated. And if you want to help us, and thank you to the folks that do, you can do that by donating at aminutetomidnight.com. And all the music used in our shows and videos I've written, played, and recorded. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode in a few days' time.